Are you a business owner or entrepreneur who's had great success in the business world, and now you want to launch a speaking career to share your message with the world? If that's you, then listen up. 25-year speaking industry veteran Brett Ridgway has released his latest special report, 3 Key Things Entrepreneurs Must Master to Build a Profitable Speaking Business. To pick up your copy, go to brettridgway.com/freebie. Speaking Business from Speaking Industry Pros. Each week, we interview a great guest who will share his or her speaking journey, identify what their keys to success have been, and highlight some critical mistakes they've made along the way that you'll want to avoid. Be sure to visit our website at spotlightonspeaking.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, sit back, tune in, and get ready to meet this week's guest.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the second of a multiple perk series on how to be most attractive to podcast hosts as a podcast guest. Now, if you remember in the first session, we talked about developing your Media One sheet and the pieces that you need, but more importantly, being very clear as to who you are, who your target audience is. And you want to go back and watch that first episode if you have not watched it already. But welcome again to my co-host on this special series, Judy M. Baker. Say hello, Judy.
Hello, Brett. Hello, audience.
All right. So in this particular episode, we're going to continue our discussion on how to be most attractive to potential podcast hosts. And we talked about some of the pieces last week that you need, but we were just really starting to scratch the surface, so to speak. So one of the things that Judy and I certainly feel is critically important is to make your life as easy as possible. And that is by developing, let's just call them templates, for lack of another word, of things that you'll be able to copy and paste when you want to reach out to potential hosts. Now, it's very important to recognize that you don't want to do exactly the same thing to every potential host because there's differences in their shows and all that, but you need to have a good email template so that you can quickly go in and make the modifications that you need before you send it to a potential host. So, Judy, I think we have a sample of that that we want to show today. So without further ado, let's bring that up and show people a potential email template.
Okay, let me make this a little bit bigger for everybody.
Let's blow that up.
Okay. You can see that it's nice and short because this is an appetizer. You're not serving up your entire biography and life history. This is designed to whet their appetite so that they want to know more about you, but you're giving enough of the tasty bits that they're intrigued. Now you can see what we did here. You're going to include their first name. And this is probably one of the most important aspects. Now, Brett, when you get a request and someone has named you, named your show, told you the episode or episodes that they enjoyed, how do you feel as a host?
Well, I mean, you're interested in people that you know are interested in you. So if they've taken the time to do a little bit of work to check you out, find out about your show, then number one, they feel like they truly have some value they can bring to your audience probably. So they're one step ahead in terms of being a potential fit. But number two, the fact that they're willing to do their homework, they're willing to invest some time up front to check you out as a potential host, says volumes for how good of a guest they may be. I mean, there's so many podcasts to choose from that when somebody takes the opportunity to really do their homework, for lack of another term, then they're going to stand out in your mind as a potential host. So as a potential guest, you'll stand out in the mind of a potential host when you take the time to do this.
The other reason it's important that you do exactly this, you're going to be sure that you're a match for that audience and that host. if you listen to several episodes, then you've got a feel for the style, the flavor, and how you might fit in and how you might benefit their audience. And of course, when you identify the value that you're receiving from that podcast, that host feels honored. They've done a good job, and they know that there is an opportunity where you guys are going to connect. Now, I always put this in mind too. You don't want to put somebody on the spot. You're saying, I'm offering you a gift, but maybe you're not ready for it, or maybe this isn't the right time, or maybe not quite the right connection. That gives them no pressure, but it also, I think it emphasizes that you're paying attention, that they're busy, that they've got a lot going on, and you're not coming in to make their life more difficult. You're coming in to make their life better.
And one of the lines that I tend to use in my email template, Judy, is if you feel I'm a fit. So again, it's taking the pressure off them. If they don't feel that I'm a fit, that's okay. I mean, there's lots of opportunities out there, and not everything's a fit. And if they don't feel that you're a fit, then it's probably not the right podcast for you. So now I do have a couple comments about the template here, Judy. So one thing that I would suggest, honestly, is any place that there's a variable where you're going to customize it for the person before you send it out, I would do that in red or a different color. So it's easy for you to recognize what you need to go to change, because sometimes we get in a hurry and nothing's more embarrassing than sending out a template email where you haven't filled in the proper variable or whatever in that particular space. So I like to highlight for myself where I need to change by highlighting it in a different color. And then your signature file is something that can be a copy and paste thing. So she just has it as variables here, but you can, you know, you can quote currently put that in there, or you can have a sig file that you can easily copy and paste and drop in the whole thing there rather than having to type out each URL, social media profile, whatever it may be. So that's just a couple of tweaks I would suggest. But
yeah,
again, the thing is they need to recognize that you're taking the time to really see if you're a good fit for their show, and they will appreciate that. As a host, I can tell you, I appreciate that. So.
Oh, and this is really critical. You'll notice also that your phone number. Yeah, we communicate today so many different ways: messaging, text messaging, direct messaging, phone calls, email, you know, so sometimes one thing works and sometimes it stops working, and somebody might want to get a hold of you, you know, in an instant. Make it super, super easy.
Yeah, we talked about in the previous episode the importance of having multiple contact methods on your Media One sheet or website. And the same thing applies to this. I mean, they've got to be easily find that information, and you got to give them preferably more than one option, because they'll have a preferred communication method. And if you make it easy for them to reach out to you, then you have much more of a chance to be selected to be a guest on their particular show.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that we talked about and touched on in the previous episode, where we talked about it being attracted to podcast hosts, is the whole area of your reach. I mean, how many people are following you on social media? How big is your email list? Because podcast hosts want their show to be heard by as many people as possible. That's why they're doing it. And if you have the ability to show them that you have a large reach and that you're going to put it out there via your social media channels and to your email list and all that, the bigger your list is, the more attractive you are to a potential host. And so, if, for example, if you go to LinkedIn, it'll list the number of followers you have there. Well, you may want to mention that in your template email when you're reaching out to a host. Hey, I promote my episode with you, if you feel I'm a fit for your show, to my 10,000 Facebook followers or 10,000 LinkedIn followers, or I'm going to email it to my list of 20,000 or 4,000 or 2,000 or whatever it may be followers, because they are interested in your reach. And if you can show them significant numbers, you're going to be much more attractive to them as a potential guest. Any thoughts on that, Judy?
Well, yes, your social followings are very important. But you know what's even more important? Your email list. And I'm going to say that again, because it is really important for you to understand this. Your email list is something you own. The social followers, all of those things are rented space and can go away at an instant. I don't think any of you in this room, in the world, doesn't know someone who was locked out of their Facebook account, or it got hijacked, or even the collapse of a trusted social channel, which now is called X. Well, you know what? If you have planted seeds on all of these social channels, you're probably going to be okay, because you've got lots of space where people can find you. But the real key to success is inviting people to be on your email list so that you have control over your communication, and you can talk about that when you're talking to a future podcast opportunity. If you have 10,000 people on your email list, that counts more than 10,000 people on a social platform, because email is one to one. If you're opening the email in your inbox, that's the only thing you're looking at. You're not being distracted by all these other things. And that's really the goal. You are going out there so that you can be established as an expert, but you want to continue to have that connection. And that's where email comes in. And you want to gather people to you so that you can have conversations over and over again.
All right, so Judy, now let's talk about something that I think is critical, but there's always a decision to be made as to how in depth you want to go. And that's, you need to have a short bio and introduction ready to send to a host. Well, how short should short be? And should you have both a short and a long one? And how do you match this up? Where does this come into play in relation to the email template? Do you send it with it? Wait for it? I mean, what are all your thoughts on this whole bio intro thing?
Well, I think you do want to give a little taste about who you are in the pitch letter. Now, sometimes it's going to be an email. Sometimes it's going to be a text. Sometimes you're filling out a form. So there's all these different ways that you're going to provide that information. But I think your idea about giving people maybe two or three sentences, you want a 50-word bio, but you also want to have a medium length and a long length. It depends on what people are asking for, but always have a, you should be able to describe who you are and who you serve in 1 to 3 sentences. It shouldn't take more than that. They don't want to know your entire life history yet. That's going to be in your conversation. They're going to ask you questions. You're going to provide some answers. So I really like the idea of having modular biographies. So you've got a short, a really brief one. And when you're being introduced on a show, this is also going to come into play. You don't want people to forget who you are by the time the host has finished introducing you. You want it to be really punchy and have a lot of, you know, juicy bits in it. Then when someone wants more, you can provide it. But pay attention. Our attention spans have shrunken I think now, what is it, 3 to 7 seconds in anything? Oh, yeah. So don't be giving people more than they can chew in one bite.
All right. Now, another component of this, I believe, is, and we talked about this in the last episode, the importance of having some high resolution headshots of yourself for the Media One sheet, but also for essentially, it's called Media Kit. And at some point in time, you'll need to decide you need to have a Media Kit online, which makes it easy for anybody that needs to find out more about you to grab what they need. Maybe they're a podcast host or a summit host or whatever. So that those different bios that we just talked about, short, medium, long, should be in your Media Kit so they can easily copy and paste. You should have multiple high-resolution headshots there that they can copy and paste. You want to make it as easy as possible for somebody to get what they need from you to put you in the strongest light before you be a guest on a show. So that high-resolution headshots, critical. And don't think that you can just grab an image off the website and think it's going to look good, especially if you're doing a print piece. I mean, a print piece needs to be a minimum of 300 dots per inch. And even I require high resolution headshots from my guests because I do some graphics that I send them to help promote their episode. And some things just look like crap, Judy. And so that's why I want high resolution so that they look good.
Well, you know, we've got an example that I can share with you. So hang on one second. I'll get that open so you can see what we're talking about. Because it really, you know, I just get so frustrated when people think, oh, you know, they just kind of share stuff and they don't recognize the impact. This is what Brett does for each episode. So do you want your picture to look good or crappy? Because it is an introduction to you. So he uses it in his, well, on your podcast page, you include it when you're uploading it to the different services. It also becomes an asset that you provide to your guests so that they can share it. So look at the difference in each of these pictures. Do you notice one thing? We're all smiling. You want a nice picture of yourself. You want it to be current, as we've said before. You want it to represent you. You want it to look inviting. Because if, you know, if I'm scowling, if I'm looking distracted, if I'm looking sloppy, that isn't going to work. So the more you pay attention to the graphics that are used in the podcast, you're going to see how that host is doing them. And it really can, you know, if you send in something that's low res or kind of out of whack, it isn't helpful. And that isn't doing a service to you or to the host. But I like these. I think these are all really nice looking.
Bottom line is make it as easy as possible for the host to provide you the promotional materials that you'll need to promote your episode out there via your social, via your email list or whatever. You want to look good, so give them what they need to make you look fantastic. So, Judy, any final words of wisdom before we wrap up this session 2 on being attractive to podcast hosts?
Well, I want to just summarize something. You can create, well, we've done this. We've created checklists and a system so that you know what you need to provide, how to do it to make it easier, how you can simplify your life, and how you really want to simplify what the podcast host can do with you, for you, and I think that's my takeaway. Make it simple, make it repeatable, make it something that you love doing and that you love sharing.
All right. Well, thank you, Judy Baker, for being my co-host on this second session of our Being Attractive to Podcast Host. Next episode, we'll wrap up the Being Attractive part of this program, and then we'll get into the criteria and how to best leverage your podcast appearances on future episodes. But everyone, thank you for joining us again. And as always, I wish you the greatest of success in all that you do. And may this year be your greatest year yet. Take care, everybody. Bye.
This has been the Spotlight on Speaking Show with Brett Ridgway. Be sure to join us every week as we interview speaking industry pros and have them share their best tips for building a profitable speaking business. Until next week, thank you for tuning in. And remember to visit our website at spotlightonspeaking.com so you can enjoy even more great episodes like this one. While you're here, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Spotlight on Speaking Show. Until then, our sincere best wishes to you for the greatest of success as you work to build your own profitable speaking business.